Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Just before I get into the different aspects of the conversation with you, can I just ask you, with regards to the reopening of McDonald's, fast food, things that need to be eaten in moderation, and huge big queues up in Dublin, what is that saying to you? Is that saying to you that we have a propensity to eat too much fast food, or is this okay, all of the queues and all of the traffic jams, because it's a treat and everybody deserves a treat?
Oh, I think what it's telling me, anyway, is that people are sick to death of being locked in and on lockdown. And it's just a mass celebration of that freedom. What it says about their food choices is that it's been unavailable. It's a huge part of the psyche of what's available to us now as a nation, what we eat, what we look at, what we do. And I think that reflects our choices. So, like, the knee-jerk reaction, I think, initially, is just people out and about, the freedom to do these things again, to actually get your hands on something that you couldn't do for the last few months. So other than that, I don't think it tells us a whole lot, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that people need a get-out-of-jail card, and that's one way of celebrating a Big Mac and a flurry or whatever the case may be. But with coronavirus, right, and with diet and health and exercise, that's central to people's health going forward, because this is always going to be with us, even in times of a vaccine, isn't it true?
Well, like, this virus is not going away, first and foremost. I think a vaccine is a long way off. I don't think there's going to be, from what I'm reading, from the papers, from the science that I'm trawling at the minute in relation to this, like, they're not hopeful, really, of the definitive vaccine coming out for a while, because they don't know the provenance. They don't know, really, how to cut off the infection. They've had some hope with one or two things like ACE inhibitors. But generally speaking, to get something in terms of a vaccine, I do think it's a way off yet. So we're really going to have to look at the best way for us as individuals to cope with the infection. And that is, like, basically our health and our fitness. And the more we can put into that, the more fitness level that we can get up, then the better we will be at staving off the effects of the virus if we do come in contact with it.
It's interesting when you mention diet and fitness and exercise and things like that, because unfortunately people who are seen to be overweight or obese or with would be type 2 diabetes as well, wouldn't it? They were shown to be people who were very at high risk. And then, of course, notwithstanding, 60% of our deaths in Ireland have been in care homes and nursing homes and the elderly.
Well, again, statistical analysis, it's new. So we're getting new statistics in every week as people collate the data. Now, what's been seen from some of the papers I've been reading out of the States, that 8 of the 10 deaths in states relating to a COVID reaction to, in relation to COVID deaths, that, like, 8 out of 10, that's 80% of the people have been over 65. And the risks increase with age. So, like, the 65 to 84 year old age bracket accounted for 4 to 11% of COVID deaths, and 85 plus went as high as 27% of deaths.
It's vulnerable groups always, isn't it?
It's vulnerable groups, Neil, but what's happening with this disease and the reason it's a pandemic is that the attrition rate and the death rate is far, far higher than the standard death responses, say it's for flus, colds, any kind of cardiovascular complications of elderly people in those vulnerable groups. But what is being seen is that if your health is compromised in any way, and if you've got metabolic syndrome, or if you've got obesity, or if you've diabetes, smoking, you know, specific blood types, high blood pressure, all of these things tend to increase your risk of mortality and having a severe reaction to the infection.
That's why there's an ever-growing amount of people who are saying now, with hindsight being 2020, that it was all of those groups that should have been protected, and everybody else who was healthy, who would get it, come through it and get out the other side like a flu, should have been allowed to get on with their lives.
Like, that all seemed great. Boris Johnson was given advice. People, like, the advice was coming, the stats were coming. I think Professor Ferguson, who was an advisor to the British government, gave Boris, or whispered in Boris's ear, that the only way to beat this is to get herd immunity, upon which Boris went out and he led the vanguard and started shaking people's hands and said, oh, I'm shaking people's hands in hospitals with the coronavirus, and, you know, we're all good and it affects a certain type and a certain demographic, and all of a sudden he nearly died.
Yeah, but he admitted recently that he was hospitalized with coronavirus. You know what he said? He said because he was overweight.
he said that the main contributing factor to him having the severe reaction he did was the fact that he is obese. Now, his body mass index, he is 5'8", 17 and a half stone. So his body mass index was off the scale and put him in that vulnerable group. So he's now set about a task force to look at obesity in general and its effect on health and populations and everything else that goes with it in terms of the socioeconomic effect of being obese. And he's championing a massive attack on people's health in regard to obesity.
While at the same time I'm hearing that more and more, I certainly know that Ben Dunn is talking about his gyms not opening for about 2 years, he said. How will people be able to socially distance and do what they're supposed to do when they're pumping weights and iron and on treadmills and all of the equipment in a gym?
Look, at the start of this, I had this conversation with you about the effectiveness of the masks. People were saying masks didn't work and it was this and, droplet infections was flying out the side and everybody was making statements. But, conscientious engagement is where everybody collectively pulls together and say, we are aware that this disease is out there. Now, there are colds and flus. Colds and flus kill an awful lot of people every year. People haven't looked at normal mortality figures and overlay them with the deaths from COVID. I mean, if you look at a whole and take it as a fractional representation of the live population in Ireland, we've had 1,500 deaths out of what type of a population? Mm-hmm. When you fractionally represent that, it's quite small. It's severe for the people involved, but it's quite small. We do not know, because the disease is so severe, we still don't know the effect on the general population. So it's knee-jerk reaction to what's coming out to get best practice. Now, anybody seen not to be engaged in best practice is going to have fingers pointed at them. Now, we flattened the curve because of the social distancing, and we reduced the effectiveness of the travelling and the infection rate of this disease. It did work. It has worked. In Cork at the minute, there are very, very few live cases. The chances and the incidence of picking up are quite slim. Mm. But do we have to be cautious? We do. Can it be reinfecting people? It can. Is it out there? It is. Are there people walking around with an infection that are fighting it? They don't even know they have it. There are. So how do we do it? We've got to put things in place. And one of the things that I've been looking at recently, which has been unbelievable from what I've looked at, is this fever detection systems, where there's infrared built into these detection units. You can get your temperature taken and it tells you whether your temperature is within normal parameters or maybe possibly at an indicating level that says that you could be infected.
Okay, and I trialed that the other day with you and it showed my temperature as being normal, and in that case I would have been allowed into a particular building. It could have been a restaurant, it could have been a hotel, it could have been an office block, anywhere. Wasn't that it?
Like what's available now in the software and the model that I looked at from the company Safe or TechSafe.ie is just incredible. The add-ons with it, what you can do, what you can track. And I think if people had that and if people had the confidence to know that everybody is going along the same line and everybody wants to keep an eye on this, then not only alone will the infection rates from the likes of this severe pandemically labeled disease COVID-19, but all other flus, all other colds, all other sicknesses, I think people will be a lot more aware and a lot more conscientiously engaged in not spreading mass infections, because there's still a lot of vulnerable groups that are affected by other diseases that are fever and temperature related. I think as a whole, our awareness of sickness and our ability to pass sicknesses on has really increased.
What, will you always show kind of a temperature spike when you're sick then? Is that the case for lots of different things?
Well, lots of different diseases will cause the body to fight infection. In fighting that infection, we do get temperature spikes. Now, the temperature spike is normally an indication that there's something going on. But, Neil, there are infections everywhere in our lives. Like, our body fights a constant battle against infections. The lining of our nose has lots of rhinoviruses living there. The lining of our lungs has lots of pneumococci living there. Our skin, if we get it caught, it'll get infected. Our bodies fight infections, Neil. We're fit. We look after ourselves. We don't put ourselves in, physiological extremes. And we are capable of fighting everything. That's what our bodies do. Can they fight the COVID? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, but if you're fit, healthy, and within the proper weight parameters, right?
Well, you're far less likely to be affected by any disease, let alone the COVID. I mean, fighting fit, I mean, these terms don't come out of anywhere. They don't come out of the fresh air. When you're fit, when you're conscientiously engaged in your diet, when you look at the cause and effect, I mean, most people get sick because they put themselves into an extremely stressful situation you know, they might drink a lot after a hangover. They might, you know, put themselves and lower their immune systems and then get sick, work too hard, stressed out, a lot of hours. And this is why we get sick and our bodies recover. I mean, that's life. We cannot stop that. I mean, going around now and wrapping ourselves up in cotton wool, we've seen the effect of this. We've seen what it's like. We're getting a handle on it. Something will come out pretty soon in the future. But, you know, at this point in time, what we need to do is look at what will get the population confident. I can imagine, you know, somebody going out and sneezing inside a public place. I can imagine them being lynched, you know. I can imagine people, you know, if you stick a label on them saying, oh, no, that person, you know, vulnerable group, chance of being affected and people being avoided, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think that's the proper way for us to kick things off, but I do think, you know, systems like, you know, fever detection units, I do think that's the way forward.
So this would be the norm then, that there would be temperature monitoring screens or maybe tablets on podiums, like you're describing, and the entrance to every business.
Well, you know, I mean, if people don't want to conform and they don't want to go in, and, you know, you remember that ad before about that foot and mouth disease on the farm, and you had the little farmer saying, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
You know, well, Grant, if you don't give a damn, if you don't care, then go over to that group over there that don't care. I mean, if you want to be helping people and if you want to be engaged, then we have to have something in place that allows us to maybe say, you know, we're thinking about this and we're conscious about it. Like, I mean, our psyche has taken a blown and a hammer blow what's after happening, Neil. We've really been given an absolute, like, a pummeling, like, in regards how we go out and we deal with these issues moving forward. I mean, we really do now need to instill confidence in people. Small to medium enterprises, I mean, how the hell are they going to start? I mean, pubs need certain percentages in, certain levels of people to get their turnover up. Gyms need certain levels and certain amounts in to get it worthwhile to open. How can something limp along at, you know, 20 or 30% of what can normally go in and expect to pay all the bills, the rates, the overheads, the insurances? Like, these models aren't going to work, Neil. It's going to be incredibly hard.
Yeah, it is. And the 2 meter rule, of course, that'll be 6 meter square, is going to be hell for an awful lot of businesses.
I mean, it's not going to be practical. I know a man, he's got 6 hotels down in Killarney. I mean, he needs to be minimum at 80% of his total capacity for a season to make a profit. Even if he opens now and he gets 100% between now and the end of the season, he's still going to run a loss. So I know that he's staying closed until Patrick's Day next year, because he opens, like, he loses money.
Yeah.
I mean, gyms are the same. You know, there's talk about droplet infections, sensationalizing everything. And it's a case of, we don't know. I mean, like, there's been no... Like,
but if you went into a gym and you began and you did do the temperature monitoring check going in and you did wear a mask, you're still going to sweat with your hands and other body parts on equipment.
Yeah, but I mean, like they're talking, you know, about, like, droplet infection. The main vector for this is the rhinovirus. It affects your respiratory tract. So the main entryway is your respiratory tract. I mean, we do have our skin stuff infections coming in. You know, I mean, you might as well wrap yourself up in a bubble now, because...
No, but a mask would stop a lot of it straight away, right?
Well, it'll catch an awful lot of it. You know, it does catch an awful lot of it. It's droplet. I mean, you put on a mask. I've had masks on. You put on the mask. It's damp when you're finished with it. That dampness, is like, if there's a virus, it's in that virus. You have your own viruses in that mask, your own rhinoviruses, your own colds, your own everything. I mean, when you're a young lad and you're a young girl going out, you're going through disco for the first time, like the kissing disease, glandular fever. Everybody gets it because it's the first time exposing yourself to different pathogens in people's, you know, body fluids. And, you know, these things go on. Our immune system builds up. I think we need to get a handle on it, and we need to instill confidence now in everybody, and we need to start getting back to some semblance of normality.
And it's time for people to be looking at their fitness and their weight as well, then, you're saying, on top of all of that.
Fitness and weight is of tantamount importance.
Okay.
If you look at all the stats, all the people who are looking after themselves, they mightn't even know they've had it. It's the people who are in the vulnerable groups. They're the people who are mostly affected by this. And again, look at the numbers that have succumbed to this as an overall percentage of the population. Look at the normal curves for influenzas and colds at this time of the year, and compare and contrast, and they are quite similar, Neil. It's just that this is very, very virulent. If you get infected with it, the chances of dying from it are pretty high if you're in that vulnerable group.
So this, so masks are vital then when people are outdoors, and let's get that right. Ideally reusable ones as opposed to single use ones. Yeah. No, they're vital. I mean, they are vital. They don't do any harm. If you have it, you won't pass it on.
Well, people know, people are conscientiously engaged. You're keeping it in people's minds that, you know, we're all aware, we're all making an effort.
Okay.
And I think people need to relax about it because it ain't going away. It'll come in waves. Our body's immune response will help. Those who've been through it, hopefully, we'll be able to keep everything going, and we're not going to have a shutdown like this again.
And the temperature access monitoring equipment that you're trialling at the moment, is that a Cork product?
It's a Cork group, SECSafe,
SECSafe.ie.
Yeah, they are Cork based, they are working. I'm trialling it at the minute, and it's just like I think it's an incredible product. It's an absolutely incredible product. It can be linked up to so much. You can log in all of your client base, your people visiting. There's facial recognition. You can exclude people for any reasons coming in and out. Like, you can crowd control with it.
You could have it, say, at the entry to a bar, just at the front door, or a restaurant, and it takes maybe just a couple of seconds, and you put your face up on the screen. I'll share the video of myself doing it, and it tells you your temperature.
It tells you your temperature, and you can set whatever parameters you want for coming in and out. You can say have a license access where, like, anybody who wants to come in, they can send their ID in. You can log the ID in so it knows the person coming in. You've got that facial recognition built into the system, and you can let somebody in. And, you know, if anybody needs to be tested, you can give people, you know, a little testing license with it. You can clock in anything you want with it. It's an extraordinary product.
Yeah, but is it expensive?
The price range is from 2,500 to 4,000, depending on what you want with it. There are little software additions for whatever level of detail you want to program into the machine. So, it's down to the software. The software is pretty unique. It's an all-in-one product. There's no little part of it for, you know, taking your temperature. It's all on the one screen. There are other screens, and they would have a little separate, you know, infrared unit on top of it, different facial recognition things, but the software, but it's all built in on one. It's incredible.
Okay, listen, if people want to have a look for themselves, it's SECSafe.ie. You stay safe and mind yourself, all right?
Neil, thanks for the time.